Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
4 verses in Ephesians chapter 6 mention 6 items that are associated with spiritual warfare. Beginning at verse 14, it says, "Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, number 1, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, number 2, and having shod your feet with the firm foundation of the gospel of peace, number 3. Besides all these, having taken up the shield of faith, that's number 4, with which you'll be able to quench all the flaming darts of the evil one, and receive the helmet of salvation, number 5, and finally, the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God." 6 items in 2 groups. The first group, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the feet shod with the firm foundation of the gospel of peace. These 3 things prepare us for the warfare, while the 2nd group provide us with the weapons, the implements that we need to fight this battle. Francis Ball has joined us today to fellowship on the 2nd group of these 6 crucial items for spiritual warfare, a topic that interests many, but I think also intimidates a lot of believers. Francis, don't you think?
Yes, I do believe that this is something that intimidates believers because they don't see the reality of these particular items that are listed here as the whole armor of God.
Right.
So I hope that today we can make clear what this armor is and how we utilize it.
Francis, yesterday's program touched on the 1st group that we just identified, the 3 of these items, the girdle identified with the truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the gospel shoes, the feet shod with the gospel of peace. Maybe you could review these 3 before we talk about the 2nd group today.
Well, these are marvelous things because actually they are all Christ in us for our living.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth.
Right.
We have the truth or the reality for our living, and the breastplate of righteousness really covers our conscience by answering Satan's accusation with God's righteousness, that is Christ. So we're really protected by having this kind of armor to put on. And then the gospel of peace, which is our shoes, as you mentioned, that brings us peace with God. And of course, that peace is Christ himself and what he accomplished on the cross. So with both God and man, we now have peace. All 3 of these, truth, righteousness, and peace, are just Christ.
Just Christ himself.
Yeah.
Already I feel less intimidated by...
It does help, doesn't it?
It really does. This isn't our fight, and this isn't our battle even at all, is it, on any
right.
plane? Spiritual warfare is a reality in the Christian life, Francis, and it's something that we should not be ignorant about. And the temptation to come out from under Christ is our truth and Christ is our righteousness and Christ is our peace is one of the first things we need to be on guard against. That's one of the common tactics of the enemy, is to draw us, to engage us in this battle. So I think these 2 messages, yesterday's and today's, are critical to refocus all of the listeners, all of the believers, you and I included, back on Christ, Christ, Christ.
That's right.
As our covering and as our
That's right.
as what we fight with.
He's our protection. He's our whole armor.
Right. Well, the 2nd group starts in verse 16. This verse begins with the phrase, "besides these," or "with these." And that indicates that we're now prepared to fight against the enemy, but to engage the enemy in such a fight, we need to pick up these 3 more items, the shield, the helmet, and the sword, and we'll talk about all 3 today before we're done. Here's Witness Lee with our 1st portion.
I must call your attention to these 3 pieces of the whole armor of God. The girdle is a matter of truth, and the breastplate is a matter of righteousness, and the shoes are a matter of peace. Truth, righteousness, and peace. You look at the picture, you have a proper daily living, you have the covering, and you have the standing. You are ready to wrestle. You are ready to fight. But you need something to protect you from the attacks by the darts, by the arrows from the attacker. This is the shield of faith. You have to pick up the shield of faith to keep you, to protect you, to guard you from any kind of attacks. Truth, righteousness, peace, then you have faith. By this you can see faith doesn't come first. If we do have the truth in our living, and we have the righteousness covering us, and we have the peace as our firm standing, spontaneously we'll have faith. And this faith is a protection. Now you are standing here holding the shield of faith against all kind of darkness. The shield of faith. We have to check faith in what? We are nothing and we have nothing for us to have faith in. Faith is what we need in God. Firstly, faith in God. Then faith in God's heart, faith in God's faithfulness, faith in God's ability, faith in God's word, and faith in God's will, and faith in God's sovereignty. Amen. If you have such a faith, you know, all the darts from Satan could not do you any damage.
Francis, what strikes me, again, this happens so frequently in this ministry, listening to his unfolding the word here, you have such an appreciation for the way the word is structured. The order, as he pointed out, very significant, isn't it, that we do not begin with faith, but we begin with truth and with righteousness, taking care of our conscience, and then with a standing of peace with God, then we come to the matter of faith. If we get this order out of the biblical sequence, we have a lot of problems, don't we?
That's right. And this is one of the outstanding things in this message that brings us in the right order. First, we have the truth, because that's the girdle with which we're girded.
Right.
And then we have the righteousness, which is really the breastplate that goes over our conscience, that covers our conscience. And then we have the shoes of peace. And peace was made by Christ, as we said a while ago, at the cross. So now we're in a position to pick up the shield of faith.
Of course, Paul alludes to this in a couple of other places. In Timothy, for example, he identifies the conscience with, once the conscience has not been taken care of properly, it can't hold faith. Faith
right.
leaks away, right?
That's right.
So the order, again, is so marvelous, and it really corresponds with our experience. It seems like, in my experience, what he had alluded to here is often the case when the order is not right and there are problems in our conscience or there are problems with the truth. We really don't have Christ living in us in truth and in reality. Or if our standing with God is not on solid, firm, peaceful ground, faith often gets placed in the wrong things. Oftentimes, things that we have had the experience of or victories we may think we may have had become the object of our faith rather than, and I really appreciate all the items or the things that he identified where our faith properly belonged.
Yes. This is very good. First of all, we have to have faith in God.
Right.
The Lord Jesus said, have faith in God. God is real. God is living. God is present. And God is available.
Uh-huh.
So we certainly could have faith in him. And then also, we have faith in God's heart. His heart toward us is very good. Many people think that God is mad at them because certain things happen. But we have to realize that all the things that happen to us are good. If we love God and we have faith in God's heart, we realize how much he is for us. And then, of course, God is faithful. Unlike us, we're prone very much to have a good heart but no faithfulness. But God never changes. He's faithful. And then also, the fact that he's faithful is backed up by the fact that he's able.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have faith in God's ability.
Right.
God can do what he set out to do, because he has a plan, and he's faithful to that plan. And also, Chris, even God has written it down. We have the Word of God.
The Word of God.
So we certainly should realize that we can have faith in the Word of God. Just by reading the Word and by praying with the Word, something happens to your faith. It just gets centered on God's Word, and you realize God is faithful to His Word. And then also, God has a will, and He wants to carry out His will, and He will, because He's able. And this is to accomplish His purpose. And if we have that realization that God does have a will, God does have a purpose, I'm afraid that many, many Christians believing in God and believing in Christ and receiving Christ, yet they don't realize that God has a purpose. They think maybe that God's purpose is just to save them, give them all these benefits, take them to heaven where they'll have such a joyful time. But God's purpose is not that. God's purpose, it's all included in all these parts of this whole armor that we're putting on. So we have God's will also that can be an object of our faith. And then God's sovereignty. I think this is very important because something happens to us bad. Mm-hmm. We want to either blame God or blame ourselves and feel like that something gone wrong. God isn't sovereign after all.
Right.
But this is an object of our faith,
right.
The sovereignty of God. God is on the throne. He's ruling everything, and we have to believe and put our trust in this sovereign God that everything that He's doing is for His purpose and for our good.
Well, if we can appropriate all of these items, Francis, where our faith properly belongs, it'll go a long way to dealing with what is included in the second half of verse 16, something we are all familiar with, and that is, the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. These flaming darts, what are they? We need to identify the enemy's attack and his strategy, and we'll begin to do that in this coming portion. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
What are the darts? Listen, these are the darts. Number one, temptations. This is a dart. Then proposals. Every morning, that's the time for Satan to propose something to you. This is why, when you rise up, you better go to the Word right away. I sure experience this. Every morning, he comes to propose things to me. Then, doubt and questions. When the devil asked if, did God say, see? When the devil stands up to question something, that is a question mark. What should you do? Run away. Don't talk to Satan. Run away. All these are darts, even flaming darts. Let me tell you, all these darts come to us through our mind. All these darts actually are thoughts. The source of temptation, the source of proposals, the source of doubts, the source of questions, the source of lies, attacks. I tell you, all these things are of Satan. I used to confess to the Lord of all the thoughts. I discovered those were not my thoughts. So I wouldn't confess. But sometimes our conscience is a little tender. We still think, well, if we are not bad, and that thought will not come in, you shouldn't think that way. You say, Lord, I am bad, yes, but I am under your cleansing. Satan, this is your thought. I will never help you to share the responsibility. We need to have a faith. According to our experiences, faith is mainly by the exercise of our will. Now we go on. To receive the helmet of salvation. All the darts of Satan come to us through our mind. Our head needs a covering. Our conscience needs the righteousness of Christ, and our will needs the shield of faith. Now, our mind needs the helmet of salvation. You have these five things. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, then salvation. Righteousness follows truth, and peace issues from righteousness. And then peace gives you the standing that you may have faith. And faith brings you salvation. salvation comes from faith. Don't separate the helmet of salvation from the shield of faith. The shield protects you in the front, not on your top. So you need some kind of covering on your top. These two work together.
I think the point we were talking about earlier, Francis, got re-emphasized here. Once again, the sequence, the order, very, very important, very significant. On the one hand, a shield protects us from what is approaching from the front, but all of those flaming darts are usually aimed at one place, aren't they?
That's right. At your mind.
Right.
He repeated here many times the thought. The thought is a temptation. The temptation is a thought. And the doubt is a thought. All these things that he mentioned are all geared at our mind. And that's my experience, too.
Mm-hmm.
The thoughts come in like a flood.
Right.
We certainly need the shield of faith. So now we also have to put the helmet of salvation on. So we have a helmet that guards our mind. The shield protects our faith, but the helmet protects our mind. So we need all these items of this armor, or we will not have any defense against Satan's coming in. He aims everything at our mind.
Yes, and in that regard, Francis, I thought one of the things he pointed out here was very helpful, that it's important that we not claim ownership to these kinds of thoughts. And I think that's something that's very easy for us all to stumble into, isn't it?
Well, that is a big thing, and I've had a lot of experience in that, blaming myself for these thoughts. But we learn that the one that's putting these thoughts in our mind is Satan, the enemy. So we have to not claim responsibility for those, but put the responsibility on him. I'm not going to confess what his thoughts are.
Right.
I'm going to resist him, flee away. He said, when Satan rises up like a serpent, ready to strike, then we have to run away. Don't argue with him. Don't talk with him. Don't try to convince him. Don't do anything. Just get away.
And get back to the Word of God would
That's
be a good...
That's right. Turn to all your thoughts to the Word. That's the reason early in the morning we need to touch the Lord in the Word to protect us through the day.
We're going to get into that in a very marvelous way in this last segment. Why don't we go back to Witness Lee, Francis, and then you and I will still have a couple of minutes to fellowship after that portion.
Now, nearly we have everything. We have truth. We have righteousness. We have peace. We have faith. We have salvation. We are saved. Now we are enjoying salvation. Now salvation is our portion. But how about the enemy? He is attacking us. How about that we do something?
Amen.
After you enjoy the portion of salvation, you need the sword. But don't pick up the sword first. Put on the girdle first. Put on the breastplate secondly. And then shod your feet with the peace, standing on the peace. Then take up the shield of faith and also put on the helmet. You got protected and you have the portion of salvation. Now receive the sword of the Spirit. Tonight, my main burden is here. If the word of the Bible is only letters in black and white, this is not the Spirit. Neither this is the sword. But when the Logos becomes the instant Rhema to you, this Rhema becomes the Spirit. And then this Rhema, which becomes the Spirit, is the sword. This Rhema kills. This Rhema slays. This Rhema cuts the enemy to pieces. Have you got it? In John 6:63, the Lord says, the word I speak to you, they are the Spirit. The instant word, the present word of the Lord is the Spirit. Not the printed letters on pages, but the word becoming the instant Rhema, the present speaking, this becomes the Spirit. So whenever we come to the Bible, we exercise our mind, and at the same time, we exercise our spirit. That is parading. We kill the enemy. All the enemies and our cutting. All the enemies and our slaughtering. This is the wrestling. This is our spiritual warfare. We don't use any skill. We don't use any gimmick. We don't play any politics. But we have Rhema, the sword, the spirit word.
Well, Francis, this whole section in Ephesians chapter 6 begins with this phrase that you pointed out right at the beginning, therefore take up the whole armor of God. And we have seen all of these items now, beginning with the girdle of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the feet shod with the firm foundation of peace. And now these last three, and it all culminates with this, the offensive weapon in hand, the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God. But in the little bit of time we have left, I think this point about the way to pick up the Word was very key, very crucial, wasn't it?
Yes, it's very important that we see this, because sometimes when we say we need the Word, we're talking about the letter, the words in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But Rhema, R-H-E-M-A, that is the instant word that's spoken to us from God. The Lord Jesus told his disciples, the words that I speak unto you, these are spirit and these are life. As we read the Bible, even take the word there and apply it to ourselves as Rhema, as life, it becomes spirit and becomes life to us. If we don't take it as spirit, it's just knowledge. Mm-hmm. We take it as spirit, it becomes life to us and becomes our weapon. This is the way we defeat the devil, getting into the word with the Rhema word, speaking Christ into us. Then we have the weapon against the enemy. We can cut him to pieces with his Rhema word.
We can read the Logos, the written word, just with the exercise of our mind. But if we're going to experience this word as the living and operating word, as you were pointing out, it takes, in addition to the use of our mind, which is obvious, the real exercise of our inner man, our spirit, doesn't it? And I've heard him use this phrase many times, to strike the word with our spirit.
Right.
And it's amazing in that process what happens to the word as it enters and operates in us.
That's right, and it operates in us as a real weapon against Satan, to fight against the enemy with this word, which is the Spirit. And he calls that the Spirit Word.
Mm.
People think about the written word, but the Spirit Word is really what operates against the enemy.
This is one of those portions, I think, in the New Testament where the translation in the Recovery Version is one of the very, very best. Of course, you can compare to many of the good translations to get a lot of light. But the way that the Recovery Version renders these two verses, 17 and 18, I think we'll close. Just leave them with this and a recommendation that they contact us to find out about the Recovery Version in addition to the printed life study messages.
Very good.
Verse 17, and receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God, by means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit, and watching unto this in all perseverance and petition concerning the saints. This is really the clear speaking in the Word of God, and to have it unveiled, that to exercise our spirit in a spirit of prayer as we come to the Word and even use the Bible in prayer.
Right.
How helpful has this been, Francis,
That's
over the
right.
years of your Christian life?
It's been the biggest help, I would say, in my Christian life to realize to take the Word in this way by exercising the Spirit, and taking the Word as Spirit really defeats the enemy and nourishes me.
Mm. I wish we had more time. I think we'll get back to this in future programs. A very key portion in the Scripture. And if you'd like to contact us to find out about the Recovery Version or the other printed material that we have to complement these programs, our toll-free number 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. And that's all the time we have for today, but we will have four more days left in this week as we continue to explore the life study of Ephesians now in Chapter 6, and we hope you'll join us for all of those programs as well. For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.
To meet thy demand.
The story of Abraham's life is full of God speaking for Christians today. Just like Abraham, every believer must learn the lessons of faith through trials, testing, and even failures in order to enter into the promises and blessings of God. Witness Lee's remarkable commentary on the life of Abraham, taken from the life study of Genesis, is now available from Living Stream Ministry in a single volume entitled Abraham, Called by God. Abraham, Called by God by Witness Lee is available at Christian bookstores everywhere.